ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, ¡golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to the Gold Cup preview show, where Dwayne and I are hopeful because it hasn't started yet. Canada is as good as anyone. We're equal right now until Saturday. Everything's still up for grabs. Hope is still present, and every 2 years we get a chance to play for a continental trophy, Dwayne, and this is the first time since 2009, I believe, that this tournament does not qualify a team for the Confederations Cup, the Confederations Cup being, well, dead, doesn't exist anymore, it's scrapped, but this tournament, what's up for grabs, you're saying? Well, the best team in CONCACAF, the best team in North America and the Caribbean and Central America. And it's our tournament, Dwayne. It's ours. It's our tournament.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, look, if you're an American listening to this, you're probably a little more woke, so to speak, to steal a phrase than many American fans. But there's nothing that betrays like how different a lot of U.S. fans, and I'm saying that not all, I'm saying a lot, view the world of the game when they completely dismiss the importance of this tournament. It makes me insane. It's the Continental Championship, for God's sakes. Yes, I know it's not the strongest region, but it's still our Continental Championship. It is our Euro. As many would like to see this expanded and have an every four-year Pan-American Championship, Copa America, they called it the last time. I would prefer a new name, new branding of that if they were to do that. But I still would want to have a Gold Cup. I would want to have a Gold Cup every 4 years, and then every 4 years on the 2 years later, have that sort of North and South American combined championship. I think that would be the ideal scenario there. But to say there's no value to a Gold Cup, Kevin, is patently obscene. It's offensive to me, and, you know, the U.S. should have learned this lesson in the last qualifying. Although I don't think a lot of fans did down there. The lesson they learned is, oh, we suck and we didn't perform and our players didn't care, as opposed to maybe the rest of the region stood up and beat your ass that day, which is why I get a little bit tacky when sometimes this happens, when they get into this downward spiral. Yeah, you should have qualified, and any other day you would have, because there was a lot of luck involved in Trinidad. But the rest of the region has something to say, and it's getting better, and you damn well better go into the Gold Cup with your, fully ready to play hard, because there is no sure thing that the U.S. is going to the final of this thing. Mexico, we'll see. But there's no sure thing that the U.S. is going to the final of this thing.
The 2019 World Cup will be in three different countries this year. If we go back to 2015 Gold Cup 4 years ago, it was the first time that there was a game in Canada. It was the first time there was a game in the Gold Cup outside of the USA in forever, not being Mexico. So this year, there's going to be game from the group stage in Jamaica and in Costa Rica. It is a new beginning for this tournament in that region, and it's fun to finally see games from this tournament outside of big American football stadiums in the United States. It was fun to cover one of those games in 2015 at BMO Field, and I'm sure that eventually we'll get as long as this region continues to grow, eventually it's going to be like a Euro where you do have a host country or a host region and you can host it there. Now it's a traveling competition. It's continental wide. Yes. And it gets narrowed down to Houston and to Philly, I believe, later on. But yeah, so for me, it's interesting that there's games in Jamaica, games in Costa Rica to help those teams that are strong in the region right now. And maybe we'll get more games in Canada eventually, too.
I suspect that there will be other group games played here in the future. There has never been a goal scored in Canada. Well, was there two games? There was a two-game series. I forgot about that. They played the early game, too, here in Toronto. I just didn't quite make it out of the pub in time. So I wasn't quite covering it in the same way Kevin was that day. At any rate.
We're covering it in a different way. Mine with a lanyard and a little plastic thingy. Yours with a scarf and a flag. But we're covering it anyways.
Yes, nonetheless. So that was a dull 0-0 draw that Canada needed to win to advance. So the less said, the better. Look, you know, it's been said many places before, and I think it's well understood that the reason CONCACAF plays these games all in the United States for the most part is financial. They use the Gold Cup to fund a lot of their other programs. You know, they will argue that without doing this for the Gold Cup, they might not be able to afford, you know, U-17 women's championships, which, you know, that's kind of an excuse and true all at the same time. I would like to see this held singularly in a single country, and I do believe actually that Canada could run a profitable Gold Cup all on its own if you hubbed it into four centers. Maybe you go Vancouver, Edmonton, Toronto, Montreal, have an East and a West, and then have the brackets there. I think you could probably have a pretty profitable Gold Cup held in this country, the same in Mexico. So I don't quite buy into that it has to be in the U.S. situation, but it is easier for them to be in the U.S. and they can get a little higher prices, I guess. So that's what they do.
And we have to be honest too, where's the marketing and the base of operation and of the region? It's Miami. CONCACAF is situated in Miami because it's easier to travel to Caribbeans, and this is why Miami's a hub for I guess boardrooms of soccer entities. But you do have a certain amount, Dwayne, of I think a lot of what's the word I'm looking for here? I hate when I search my words like this early in the morning. But you do have a potential too of eventually making sure that there's other parts that do generate profit with this competition. And it was decided a long time ago that for the benefit of the region and the competition, it's not going to be like a bid process, not going to be open. We're just going to make it so and make sure that our sponsors, which are mostly in the States too, get their time and get their money's worth, and they continue to invest with us. So that's one of the reasons why the games have been in the United States. But you get a Tecate, a Mexican beer involved, or something, trust me, you'll have the same in Mexico eventually too. So I do feel we're getting closer to a Gold Cup, to a continental championship that is similar to the other continental championship that do spark our imagination, i.e. the Euro, or to a lesser extent, the Copa America, like you mentioned.
Yeah. I think before we get into the tournament as a meet, I think the 2025 Gold Cup, if they do keep on the cycle that they're currently on, will likely be held in the three countries that are hosting 2026. So that's a few years ahead, though. I don't want to, you know, rush my life to think about that too much right now. But in terms of 2019, you know, 1 year at a time is fine. There's a lot of soccer going on. Kevin and I were joking about that early on, that this kind of sneaks up on us every time because there's just so much that you just forget. It used to be, I remember, you know, pre the MLS teams coming to Canada, my focus would be, you know, on one game a week in Europe, and I'd be so geared up for a Gold Cup for months and months and months on advance. You'd think about it because you wouldn't have, like, the women weren't at the same prominent level then either. So it was really just, that's all we had. And certainly that was all we had in 2000 when Canada did pull that crazy tournament up. And there's a great article on The Athletic right now if you want to get an oral history of that championship run, something that I remember as a fan. I wasn't doing anything formal at all at that point, very, very well still to this day. And I can't believe it was 19 years ago. Oh, my God.
I know. I was going there like, Dwayne, what were you doing 19 years ago? That was going to be my question. What were you doing when you saw Jason DeVos and the company dressed in a very plain white kit winning the Gold Cup? That's not true. But the Gold Cup, we did win it, the only ever international trophy for Canada in 2019, 19 years ago.
Yeah, well, it was very early 2000. It was January 2000. I used to hold in the winter back then. So it was nearly 20 years ago, as you say. What was I doing? I was watching it at home. And I immediately...
On what?
My memory of
it. You were watching it on what? Was it on TV?
Television, yeah.
There wasn't any no streaming. In 2000, one soccer didn't exist.
It was on Sportsnet. Jerry Dobson was the call. Jerry Dobson and Craig Forrest was on the field. But it was definitely Jerry Dobson. I don't know.
Craig Forrest was
the color guy was. Yeah. Yeah, I watched it on TV, and then I immediately, like many, many people, went to the Voyagers board.
Oh, my God.
This is the peak time of the Voyagers board at the time where that was primarily where you went to get your information on Canadian soccer. There were no blogs. This is pre-blogging. Like, blogs did not exist as a concept in 2000, let alone as people doing it.
Napster was barely working in 2000. Like, never mind watching things. You could barely get, like, download things. Like, you remember how long it used to take you to download a picture in 2000? Took you like an hour. Like the Pamela Anderson picture that we all downloaded when we were kids took about an hour to download.
Yeah, you used to get the slow reveal of, ooh, what's happening? Enough of that. But no, my memory of that Gold Cup in terms of the TV coverage was that it was only after the Mexico game was on, and I believe that was on a Saturday or a Sunday. And then I don't think they were even scheduled to play the semifinal on the network, and they squeezed it in. They got it on Sportsnet, so we were able to watch it. And people that don't remember, that's the game against Trinidad, the semifinal. They had no business winning that game. My God, Trinidad killed them in terms of stats and shots. That was Craig Forrest's shining moment of his career was that game. Stopped a penalty in it, too. And then the final against Colombia, to the day I die, will never be completely convinced that Colombia wasn't playing the game half drunk still or something. But nonetheless,
it was 2000. In Colombia in 2000, there was a lot of outside forces paying players sometimes to not necessarily play the way they should be because of wager situation and because of other, like, okay, you owe us money anyways. How about you do not score in this game? We're just talking trash here, but it was a different time in the world of football, especially as well in South America in 2000.
It's an unspoken worry that I think many people that saw those games wonder, but Canada won it.
You cannot take the trophy away from us.
The Mexico game was when they really won the Gold Cup, in my mind, because that golden goal by Richard Hastings, and any long-term Voyagers, well, Richard Hastings' name will flow off, and instantly you will see that golden goal in your mind. It was a classic counterattack. Top corner, you can still see the ball zipping over. That was the moment of the tournament more than the Colombia game, although certainly they did dominate the final. I mean, let's just take this at face value for now. They went in and won that game absolutely without question. It was the best game they played in the tournament because they were like, well, going in, they had to get a coin flip to get in into the knockout stage, but it doesn't matter. Flags fly forever. It doesn't matter.
The trophy is still in the case. The trophy is still in the Canadian Soccer Association office, and you cannot take the trophy away. Doesn't matter how it happened, but that's 19 years ago, almost 20 years ago, because of the winter schedule of the Gold Cup back then, which leads us to this year. Dwayne, I was joking starting the show today saying we still have hope. We're not eliminated yet, and that's a good thing. It's the young Canadian. The young Canucks are making their presence felt in Canada. They're making their presence felt in North America and in Europe as well. And now they will try to establish themselves as a good team in this region. We've seen the rise of Canada since John Herdman took over a bit over a year ago. Now we're seeing the potential of the young kids. Before we start looking at the groups and the possibilities and who Canada plays, and we know they play Martinique on Saturday. But I do feel like we're going to see, like, expectations cannot be too high. I understand that. And I do think it's wise for us to damper the expectations a bit. But I'm excited just by the beautiful football Canada's going to play. When's the last time you heard someone say that?
Well, never. Really, this is the first time that we've gone into a Gold Cup, we being Canada in this particular case, with any type of expectations probably since, I want to say 98 or 99, it would have been around there, back in the later part of the last decade or two decades ago now. Oh, sorry, 99, I mean, 2008-9 is what I meant, sorry.
Yeah.
The last part of the last decade, there was a little bit of expectations heading into those Gold Cups, and then they just went into the toilet, as we all know.
The Dero Bernie generation.
Yeah, well, what I call the wasted generation or the selfish generation sometimes. So that 2008 cycle, that to me was, you know, anyway, the site, they lost 8-1. We all know this, but The cycle before was worse. They had 2 points in the semifinal stage at that point. That era, though, the talent was there that we had a reasonable expectation. And, of course, we did go to the semifinal, famously, when Atiba was onside. So that would be the last time we really went into a tournament with expecting something. But I think after the on the backs of what was, in context, a relatively successful Gold Cup last time out, you know, Alphonso Davies breaking out, winning the Golden Boot, albeit with only 3 goals, obviously making the quarterfinals for the first time in 3 tournaments at that point, giving Jamaica less of an effort in that quarterfinal than we would have liked, a 2-1 loss, but nonetheless, getting to that knockout stage was a success. If Canada were to go and do replicate that tournament in the same way and have the same feel coming out of it, I think we'd all be bitterly disappointed by it. We expect more. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going past the quarterfinals. I listened to TSN's preview of this earlier today, and I'm going to echo what they said, is that you can have the same bottom line result, a quarterfinal exit, and still have show some success if they play in the front foot, if they play with confidence, if they go out, you know, nobly to a team that just had a better day, then I think we'll be okay with this. But most of us, I believe, are really looking towards the possibility of getting back to a semifinal. And if they get to that semifinal, it's likely Mexico that they would face, and yeah, anything from there would be gravy, because this Mexican team is by far the best team in this tournament right now. It is not really that close.
No. And you'll see, I do take some bold step and take a bold prediction later on, but there's some reasoning behind it too, and we'll get there when we get there. But how about we take a look at the group right now? You see on your TV screen, if you're watching us on the telly or on your devices, if you're listening to us in podcast, well, here's Group A: Mexico, Canada, Martinique, and Cuba. It starts this Saturday. By the way, if you don't know, here are the rules of the Gold Cup, Dwayne. I know you know, but for our listeners who don't, if they do not, the two top groups get out. And then you have the quarterfinals. You have the runner-up of group. You have the Group A winner with the Group B winner, runner-up of Group A. You have a Group A winner with runner-up of Group B. Then you have the winner of Group C with the runner-up of D, and so on and so forth in the quarters. So Mexico, Canada, Martinique, Cuba in Group A. Group B: Costa Rica, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Bermuda. First ever participation in the Gold Cup for Bermuda. They qualified through the Nations League, and this is the first time that the Gold Cup is decided this way, where the 16 that did participate in the Hexagonal Championship 2 years ago to qualify for the World Cup, those 6 teams are automatically qualified for the Gold Cup. So that was Mexico, Costa Rica, Honduras, Jamaica, USA, and TNT. Not Jamaica, Panama was instead of Jamaica, but those were the 6 teams in the hex, and the 10 teams that finished highest in the Nations League. So the rest, the 10 other teams like Canada and Guyana and Haiti, all qualified through the Nations League. But let's go back to Group B: Costa Rica, Haiti, Nicaragua, Bermuda. Group C: Honduras, Jamaica, El Salvador, and Curaçao. And the Group D: Dwayne, USA, Panama, Trinidad and Tobago, and Guyana. Let's go back to Group A: Mexico, Canada, Martinique, and Cuba. Of course, Mexico is the heavy, heavy favorite in this group.
The only question anyone could possibly have with Mexico is that under Martinez, they have not yet played a competitive game. But that is a stretch to try and put that out as a problem. It's not like he has not played competitive games before, right?
Yeah. So, he needs to stretch his players. He knows what he's doing.
And they have done very well, scored a lot of goals, been playing very attractive soccer in the 4 friendlies leading up to this, all wins. This is a team that seems to be firing on all cylinders right now. Their back line is by far the best back line by head and shoulders in the region right now, and Mexico always has great attacking talent. In the past, you could have a 2-team debate. This is really a 1-team debate plus the rest of the field in my mind this year. And the question I have more about this Gold Cup isn't whether Mexico is a favorite. It's whether the U.S. deserves to be the clear second favorite in this tournament. And I'm not entirely convinced based on the form going in. And I don't think that that's a controversial thing for me to say. But we'll get there in a second. This group is Mexico's, Mexico is the clear head and shoulders favorite. And I'm glad Canada's drawn them in the group stage, because testing yourself against the best is something that's very important. If they can get the 2 wins heading into that, and then, you know, the two other wins, I mean, and then test themselves there, then I'll be happy with that.
Of course. And who knows? It might give Canada some knowledge for future games in this competition. We'll see. Group B, Costa Rica 80, Nicaragua, Bermuda. This group is a bit more open, but not that open. Costa Rica, obviously the seeded team in this group, and obviously the heavy favorite as well. Now the question is, which of Haiti or Nicaragua will notch the second spot? I do tend to go with the Nicaragua team, but Haiti can be surprising in a tournament like this, especially Bermuda seems to be an easy prey for all three other teams. So you can get some points, and sometimes with 4 points, it's enough to get through. Depends on the goal differential and the results of other games. So who knows? But I do favor Costa Rica and Nicaragua to get out of Group B.
Well, you're looking at Bermuda as clearly the happy to be there team in this group. And it is remarkable that they accomplished the getting there. I mean, that's the two factors. This is the first 16 team Gold Cup all within the region that we've had. And also with the Nations League qualifying. And I think that we talked about this at the time, so I won't belabor it here, but the success of the Nations League's format was allowing a team like Bermuda to get this opportunity, which is tremendous for them. I'm not sure they would have been able to qualify realistically under the previous format. So good for them for being there. Whatever they do here is a bonus. You mentioned Haiti and Nicaragua. Yeah, that is clearly a battle for second there. I do like Costa Rica as a potential finalist in this tournament. They certainly are probably in a bit, not at the peak of their powers. That would have been about 3 or 4 years ago.
But oh, yeah,
they
well,
have consistent. They have consistently demonstrated that they deserve to be considered the Big Two deserves to be expanded to the Big Three in CONCACAF. I think they've done that over a couple World Cups now to deserve that. I would lean more Haiti, to be honest, but it's a flip a coin kind of situation. Yeah. Haiti has been an up-and-coming program in the region, both on the women's and the men's side, and that's almost as interesting to me that they're investing, obviously, in the overall structures. So, maybe, but yeah, Nicaragua would be your historical second pick there.
I think the peak of Costa Rica was 2014 World Cup in Brazil. They had probably their best sequence ever, and that's where they got a lot of players discovered and signed, like Yoan Venegas and company. And I think that was a peak, maybe Costa Rica. We'll see if they can recreate this in this tournament format, but they do have the pieces to create some trouble for the other teams in Group B. Group C, Honduras, #FH, Jamaica, El Salvador, and Curaçao. This group seems open when we look at it, but I do still feel there's a big gap between Honduras, Jamaica, and then El Salvador and Curaçao. Now the question is, who wins the group? That's the question.
Well, don't sleep on Curaçao. Remember that they're a Dutch property, right? So they have that option there.
They have Dutch players. They have Dutch players. The Martins, yeah. Martens. There's a few of them with Curaçao. Yeah, they're Dutch, but it's true. But still, Honduras, Jamaica are the two teams that for me will battle to win the group. Now the question is, who will win the group?
Yeah, Jamaica, I think, will win the group. Honduras has not played well at all over the past year or so. They lost 7-0 this past week to Brazil. I mean, it's Brazil, but still 7-0, right? Like, yeah. it has not been a good time.
Oh, Dwayne, did you see that game? Did Brazilians celebrate the seventh goal? I'm just asking for a friend here.
Yeah, I don't think they did a choreographed dance party after it, no. But, yeah, I'm going to pick Curaçao for second over Honduras in the group. I think that if you look at their overall play and they are very strong in the Caribbean region, and obviously the islands are always at a disadvantage. But you look at the history of the Gold Cup. The island teams that have done well have tended to be the ones that are protectorates, that are colonized basically. That they're able to draw from the home country a little bit to strengthen their lineup, and that's why I would pick Curaçao over a decidedly not on form Honduras. Jamaica has, they got the upset over the U.S. recently in the friendlies. Now, I would not, we'll talk about the U.S. in a minute, but it's a big result for them. It's going to give them confidence heading in there. I think they're the clear favorite in the group.
And now Group D, USA, Panama, Trinidad and Tobago, and Guyana. Guyana's first participation ever in the Gold Cup. The land of the Bunburys, Guyana, is making their best soccer tournament ever. This is peak Guyana in the history of soccer, and that's kind of fascinating. But this group is interesting too. First of all, the USA Trinidad and Tobago game will be fascinating because of the World Cup qualifying a few years ago. Panama is a fascinating team to me, with young players that are talented, just like Omar Brownie, Montreal Impact player, that has been selected for Panama. Panama could be a dangerous team. Trinidad and Tobago could be sneaking in second too, but USA is clearly a favorite in this group. If we had to choose a group of death, and group of death is like a trope in international tournament, it's basically the group that has the most amount of teams that are closer to each other, I guess we could say. If I have to choose one of those four groups as the closest thing to a group of death, it would be Group D, because of Panama and Trinidad and Tobago. Those two teams, depending on the tournament, depending on the circumstances of the games, it's going to be interesting to see who's the best of those two, because depending on the year, any of those two could actually be surprising, and Trinidad and Tobago do have some confidence when they play against the States. So Group D is kind of fascinating to me too, because of those three teams, and then Guyana.
Yeah, Guyana is the fourth. There's no doubt about that. We see this in the Women's World Cup as well, in terms of there being clear fourth place teams in these groups, because there just isn't the full depth yet to allow for a 24 team in the women's case or a 16 team Gold Cup. But the purpose of having this is to get there eventually. The U.S. is obviously the fascinating story in this. I do think they are the favorite to win this group still, despite the results in the friendlies heading. And you have to caveat those with the fact that they were playing sort of lineups that were bubble lineups to try and pick the final players on this roster. So it's, when you put your Bradleys, you put your All-Stars into that mix, I think that they do have enough to win this group. Will they be dominant? Are they going to go deep in the tournament? That's a different question. And in terms of the group play, I'd be pretty stunned if they didn't find their way out as the top team in the group, or you know, definitely top two. In terms of the second place team, you're right. This is a bit of a group of death in terms of who finds their way out second. Panama is, they had a golden generation, got to the World Cup. I don't think they're quite at the same strength as they were before. Trinidad and Tobago, they were never at a full strength. They were the clear six of six in the hex. So I do think it'll be kind of a flip-a-coin situation there. I'm going to lean Panama slightly, but the U.S. should have enough to get by these teams, particularly at home.
Yep, it should be fascinating. Now, before we're going to use my picks for my bracket, because I have it in front of me, and I went chalk. So there's a high probability this could happen in the knockout stage, but let's just bear with me for a second, and we'll get there. So if it goes chalk, so if Mexico, Canada comes out of Group A, Costa Rica, Nicaragua comes out of Group B, Honduras, Jamaica, or inverted, Group C, and USA, Panama, Group D, the knockout stage will look something like this. Costa Rica versus Canada in the quarters, Mexico, Nicaragua in the quarters, on the same side. On the other side, Honduras, Panama, and USA, Jamaica on the other side. Of course, the Gold Cup is usually made that USA and Mexico will face each other in the final, but you never know what can happen.
Usually.
Okay.
No, it's all
normally. Most of the time. 98% of the time. Here's my semifinals if things would go chalk, and then if things would go according to what I believe, or maybe what I hope, or maybe there's a bit too much projection on here, but Canada beats Costa Rica in the quarters and goes to face Mexico in the semis. Honduras beats Panama. USA beats Jamaica. We have Canada, Mexico, Honduras, USA in the semifinals of the 2019 Gold Cup, according to me. And then Canada beats Mexico. Canada qualifies for the first final since 1999 in the Gold Cup. And then USA beats Honduras for the first competitive game between the United States of America and Canada in 18 years, with the trophy and all the marbles at stake. I just dropped my paper. This is my dream. How about being this my winning gift, Canada? Make it to the final.
Okay, I'll be gentle and say it might not be a fever dream that you're having there. Look, I'm not going to be so bold as to pick Canada to make a final. In fact, I think Canada will finish second in the group, but will have a good result against Mexico, and will push Costa Rica to the brink in that quarterfinal, and we will leave this being slightly disappointed, but overall logically and okay with how the tournament played out. Costa Rica is slightly better than Canada right now. We've got to be honest with ourselves. In terms of how that Costa Rica-Mexico game looks at it, that I could see Mexico pulling an upset there, but Mexico is Mexico. They are by far the strongest team in this tournament. You look at the other side of the draw, you know what? If it's not the U.S., it's going to be Jamaica. That's how I'll say it. But this tournament is rigged. I don't say that to be like conspiracy theorists. It's literally set up so the U.S. and Mexico will play in a final. And certainly if you look at the disparity of the size of the draw, the U.S. have a much easier chance through to the final. So I do think they'll make it. But Mexico will kill them in the final, like 3-0. They're not close right now, the two programs. And all in all, the Americans will leave that tournament feeling very disappointed. And there will be, you know, USMNT Twitter will be exploding. So that'll be fun to watch.
I never click on hashtags. I've learned my lesson over the years. You just add your hashtag to your tweets, but don't click them. Don't look at them. Just let them be. Just let it go.
Speaking words of wisdom, let it be, let it be.
Yeah. I kind of want to see that movie, though. Yesterday, kind of looks good, you know?
It does. It looks very, very cute. Right? I saw the Elton John. I saw Rocket Man last weekend. I recommend it for anyone who likes Elton John, or if you like musicals, because it's kind of a musical. But yeah, it's a decent 2 hours.
So I guess that's a new trend in the world, eh? We went from superhero movies to, all right, let's all do biography picks. Okay, who do we start with? Queen. Okay, next, Elton John. Next, okay, Beatles. Okay, sure, next one. Okay, how about Alice Cooper? I want to see an
Hollywood
Alice Cooper movie.
No original ideas anymore.
No, exactly. All right, so, well, we now here's the schedule for the Gold Cup that you can see on your screens. It starts this Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Canada's the opening game in this Gold Cup, and that's kind of interesting, versus Martinique, Mexico, Cuba, Haiti, Bermuda, Costa Rica, Nicaragua. Those are all the games that will happen from Saturday to Tuesday, match day one of the Gold Cup 2019. We've talked about the potential. We've talked about who we see going in out of the group, who we see further. But Dwayne, there's a lot of new teams. There's a lot of interesting teams in here. If you have to choose your surprise team of this tournament, I wouldn't say a dark horse, because we're probably never going to see a dark horse win a Gold Cup. But who is the team that surprises you, that will surprise you? Maybe by their result, maybe by the way they play, maybe by their attitude. But for you, who's a team that you're excited to maybe be surprised by?
Carousel. I think that they, you know, you look at the talent that played in the past, and I think that they could step up and have a really decent Gold Cup. I think that from a surprise on the bad side of things, Honduras could be the one that goes there. I could see them having a really terrible Gold Cup. They do seem to be completely on a bottom out cycle, which might be good news for Canada, because we always draw them in the semifinal stage. Of course, the one year that they're going down is the year we would not. But anyway, I'll give that from both a positive and a negative side in terms of an upset pick. Jamaica is kind of a hipster pick to make a final right now, and that has a lot to do with the U.S.'s problems. But I think, you know, if you're not picking a U.S.-Mexico final in this thing, you're trying hard to find a way to not justify that, because even with the U.S.'s problems, they still are, I think, the second-best team in the region. They're just a little closer to third than they are to first right now.
Yeah, that probably is true, but it will be a fascinating Gold Cup, and we'll do our best to bring you our coverage of the Gold Cup as much as possible as we can from week to week until the end in July, because it all ends on the same day. The Women's World Cup, the Gold Cup, and everything ends on, what, July 15th, July 14th?
Yep.
Yeah, all on the same day. Sure, why not? Why not? Still not happy
well,
with it.
There's lots of reasons why not. I know. At this point, it's as pointless making that argument as it is to try and convince Americans that the way they celebrated was not appropriate. But you know, sorry, American friends.
If I was Oprah, I would say, "Here's some shades for you, shades for you, shade for you, shade for you." We're just throwing shade here. Shade for everyone. But on that note, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larmé, this show at Soccer Today SBN. You like to hear Dwayne and I talk about Canada, make sure you go to patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to the Two Solitude Soccer Podcasts. 4 shows a month, 1 show a week, 50 cents a show, $2 a month to support independent Canadian soccer journalism cheaper than a Starbucks coffee. And that's how we roll. Until next time, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Larmé. We do wish you a great Gold Cup.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.